One of the things I forgot to mention to you during the announcements is today we have our preschool graduation and celebration at 10 o'clock. So we're just going to have a whole bunch of people here at the 10 o'clock service. And that is something to celebrate, our continued partnership and work with preschool and young children. And not only is it a great way for us to help children at an early age understand faith in God as they learn to read or spell or count, but it's also an amazing opportunity for us as a church to continue to remain outreach-oriented and to continue to invite all people to come and experience the love of Christ here at this church. So thank you to those of you who have been supportive of the preschool and continue to pray for those ministries. Those are vital and important ministries to us. So on that note, we are going to talk today about God's love again. And in 1 John, the Apostle John continues to talk to us about the amazing love of God. And the point in this sermon series, What's Love Got to Do with It, is an understanding that not only does God have an amazing and incredible love for us, but because God has an amazing and incredible love for us, it changes us and it causes us to do certain things. It causes us to live certain ways. It causes us to say certain things and not say other things to people. It causes us to act and to treat people differently. In other words, the love of God affects us, controls us, constrains us. It compels us to be challenged, to be different and new people. Last week, the Apostle John taught us that the love of God causes us to love others. Today, we're going to realize that the love of God causes us to live in obedience. It's a natural response. And so you can kind of see where we're going with this whole children being here and parents being here. And we're going to talk about obedience and why God teaches us very early on in our life to obey our parents, because God wants to set us up for a life of obedience, not just to our parents, but when we're under authority with our bosses, when we're under authority with teachers or professors, but mainly when we become old enough to become under the authority in our own minds and hearts of our Heavenly Father as well. And so obedience is always a healthy response to love. In 1 John, the Apostle John writes this: "This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." I love that last statement. Dear friends, since God so loved us, since His great love, we also ought to do. And you can fill in the blanks. Now here it says, love one another. We talked about that last week. But since God has such a great love for us, we also ought to, what else? What else compels us by the love of God? What else does God's love cause us to do? Today we're going to talk about obedience. Next week we're going to talk about a fearless future, that God's love causes us to live into a fearless future. But today, we want to understand the causes of God's love in our life and what it causes us to do. And make no mistake about it, when you take a look at a parental relationship with a child, you see the implications of a love that changes a young person and a love that causes that young person to obey and to listen to and to follow the voice of that parent. So today we're going to camp on this idea that God's amazing love leads us to obedience. God's amazing love does lead us to obedience. In 1 John, the Apostle writes this. Apostle John says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." Now the Apostle John in 1 John uses this illustration to talk to us about the nature of love. God the Father and us as children. A father and son, or a father and daughter relationship. And as a father here on earth has a love for their child, so it is the love that God has for us in our heavenly relationship. A father has a child to love them. A father and a mother get together and have children so that they can have an object of their desire and affection. And early on, before that child even understands it or knows it, they begin to return that love and affection. Maybe not even knowing that it's love. And maybe not even knowing that the actions and the care that they're receiving from their parents is an act of love. Maybe they're not even old enough to understand the concepts. But early on already, children begin that practice. And the way that they do that, the earliest form of love that we can show somebody, is when we learn to follow the voices of our parents. When we learn to live in obedience. When we learn to respond to the love that our parents are giving to us. And so when we obey our parents, that is the earliest form of love that we have learned. And all of us have been in that spot before. We've all been parented. And early on as a child, we learned to respond to that voice, to respond to that in obedience. And that, my friends, is the beginning of a response of love. And so today, we talk about the idea that God wants us to follow His voice and obey His voice in much of the same way because of God's love for us and because it's a great way for us to show love back and ultimately because God has a better life in store for us. And so that's why God wants us to listen to His voice. In Ephesians, Paul says this, "Children, obey your parents as the Lord wants because this is the right thing to do. The command says, honor your father and mother. This is the first command that has a promise with it. Then everything will be well with you and you will have a long life on earth." Here's why kids should be obeying their mothers and fathers. I don't see any of them in this service today, but we're going to talk about it anyways. Here's why kids want to obey their moms and dads. Well, first of all, because if you don't, God tells us that you're in disobedience with your mother or father. But if that's not good enough, secondly, God says you're in disobedience with Him because it's a command from God to honor your father and honor your mother, to live in obedience with your father and with your mother. Now, if that doesn't work, then listen to the fact that your pastor is telling you that you need to live in obedience and to honor your father and your mother. Now, if those three things aren't enough for us as children to live in obedience with our fathers and mothers, and listen, I'm still a 37-year-old child. I have a mom and a dad. And I still honor them and listen to them and nod my head. Now, I kind of sometimes take their advice and chuck it off to the side. The older I get, the more I think I know. But the more I realize my parents know more than I do. That's just kind of the way it happens. And so in this moment, we have to understand that love comes through obedience. And that we continue to listen to and follow the voices of our parents and our loved ones because, well, God tells us that's the way it ought to be. And He also says, if you don't want to follow and listen to the advice of God and the Apostle John and the advice of your parents, if you don't want to follow along and listen to the advice that your pastor is giving to you to listen to your parents, then you might want to pay attention to the last verse. Because if you don't obey your parents, the Bible promises you that your life will be shorter. I love what Bill Cosby used to say. "I brought you into this world. I can take you out." If you want a miserable life, then live in disobedience. If you want to have a lack of joy in your life, if you want to be grounded, if you want to have privileges taken away, if you want your rear end to hurt more than it normally does, then go ahead and live in disobedience. Obedience is a natural response to a loving relationship. And we follow God because of obedience and love. And we follow our parents because of love and obedience. Now parents, we've got to follow through and offer discipline. A discipline that isn't just an iron fist, but a discipline that trains our children up in the way that they should go, to offer them obedience. And when they disobey, we need to correct them and help them and let them know. Listen, my children have an incredible amount of friends at school. Now, I'm not bragging because they're the most popular kids in school. By far, that's not the case. But they have a lot of friends. They have a lot of best friends. The last thing that they need from me is a best friend. They already have all that. What they do need is a father. They need a mother in their life. And guess what? Friendship comes out of that. I'm not saying I'm not friends with my kids. I'm not saying that we're really, really close friends. We are. But it starts off with me being their father. And the biggest responsibility, according to God, that I have with my children is to train them up in the way that they should go. And guess how I do that? By telling them the way they should go, according to what God teaches us. Because here's what God says. If your children live in disobedience with you, not only will it cause disharmony in your relationship with them, if your children live in disobedience with you, not only will it cause harm in future relationships that they have with their professors and their teachers and their job and their bosses, because if they can't listen to you as an authority figure, how are they going to listen to future authority figures? What God says here is, here's the biggest implication. If we can't instill an act of obedience and character and discipline in our kids, how in the world are they ever going to grow up to follow God? How in the world are our children ever going to learn to be obedient to a father God? Because here's what my kids like to do. They like to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. Here's what I like to do as a 37-year-old child. I like to do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. Okay? And early on, my parents taught me that that's not the way that we live. We live in obedience and follow instruction. And guess what? The older I got, the more I realized that it's the same way in my relationship with God. And so I duplicated my parents' authority figure as a child in my relationship with God to understand that God wants nothing but the best for me, so I'm going to follow and listen to Him. If I didn't have that model in my earthly parents, if they didn't hold me to obedience and give me discipline, I wouldn't have that today in my understanding of God. So parents, we are selling our kids short if we don't discipline them and help them live in obedience because later on they might never experience that with God. Those are huge implications in our life with our kids. Love leads to obedience, and obedience leads to love. Why? Because obedience changes us. Obedience changes us. It really, really does. we've talked about the idea that love changes us, which is the whole reason for this conversation. So if love changes us, then obedience has to be the change mechanism in that process of love. Following God's voice literally does change us, and we follow it because He loves us. And so we move from a self-guided life to a God-guided life. And so in that process, we follow His voice, not our own. We live according to God's plans, not according to our own. And we discover God's purposes and live those out, not discovering our own purposes and living out our own purposes. So there is a shift. We change. We change because God loves us, and the mechanism of change is obedience and listening to God's voice. My 3-year-old daughter, Elizabeth. She's a walking example of this right now. She's at that age, and maybe she might be there for a long time, I don't know, because she's stubborn like her dad. She'll stand there in the room, and she'll be doing something, and she'll receive some instruction from my wife, or from me, from Aaron. And we'll look at her and say, you know what, you need to pick up these toys on the ground and put them back into the refrigerator, your little play refrigerator, and because we're getting ready to leave. And so here's what she does. She doesn't start getting to work. She doesn't move. We have to kind of say it things like 2 or 3 times with her right now, because the first time we ask her, here's what's going through her small little mind. Well, he's kind of big, but I don't know. I'm going to test him to see if he's really going to follow through with what he's going to say here and what he expects from me, because honestly, I'd really like to keep playing with the toys in the ground, and if I'm not going to play with them, I certainly don't want to pick them up and put them back into the refrigerator, because that just wouldn't be fun. I just really don't feel like doing that right now. So I'm going to put him to the test. I'm just going to stand here and see what he does. Or if it's my wife, it's the same kind of conversation. She's sizing us up, right? You ever size somebody up when they're telling you to do something or whether we're going to follow through or not? And guess what, parents? As soon as we slip and we let things like that go, it kind of builds. And so the next time, they'll be even more ready to say, well, you know, the last time it was cool. I just didn't listen, and they didn't follow through with it, so I'm not going to listen now. And so in that moment, we'll say it again. And we'll say, you need to please pick up those toys. And she'll continue to size us up. And so then eventually we walk over and we grab her by the arm and the hands and we help her pick up the toys. And then we stand her in the corner. We used to apply our hands to some rear ends, but we don't do that anymore. I'm not saying it's wrong, but we just don't do that right now with Elizabeth. We kind of parented each child differently, which is legal, by the way. All right, in the Bible. All right, and so we'll stand her in the corner later to let her know what? That she needs to listen and obey to our voices. I believe that we still find it in our hearts to size up God from time to time and to begin this process of understanding that if I obey God, He wants to change me and cause me to do some things that maybe I'm not ready to do right now because I want to do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. And we learn those habits early on as kids. In 1 John, the Apostle John says this, but if we claim to know Him and don't know, this is huge, by the way, watch this. But if we claim to know Him and don't obey Him, we are lying and the truth isn't in our hearts. Wow. We truly love God only when we obey Him, and then we know that we belong to Him. If we say we are His, we must follow the example of Christ. So think about this. The very nature of a father-mother-child relationship is obedience. Without it, there is no father-mother-child relationship. There just isn't. All you are connected biologically. God says the whole purpose of that relationship, the whole definition of it, is love and obedience. Obedience and love. And it's the same with God. God says, you can't know me and not do what I say. You can't love me and not want to follow through by listening to my voice. God lays it out perfectly through Apostle John's writings in this book of 1 John. God wants to shape you in His teaching. He wants to mold you in His image. He wants you to take on His likeness. It's the same thing in a parent-child relationship. And oh, by the way, our kids are watching. Our grandkids are watching. Our nieces and nephews are watching. And here's how a child grows up and matures, by following their parents' example. Now, for some of you, that might be an exciting moment. For some of you, that might be a little depressing. And you got to pray about it and think about it in your life. What kind of model, what kind of example are you showing your kids? Because kids will follow in your footsteps and do what you are doing. Listen, my son spends 10 minutes every day trying to figure out how to get his hair spiked. Okay? And it's not because of the way his mom wears her hair. Now, if only he could get an orange tablecloth and wear it on Sunday mornings, he would be right in line with where his dad is right now. All right? I mean, parents, our kids are watching, and they're going to emulate. They're going to follow in our footsteps. We're going to be the example. And we got to ask ourselves, what kind of example are we? How do we treat our spouses? How do we treat our children? How do we handle difficulty? How do we express our anger? How do we deal with our finances? How do we handle tragedy? How do we handle people when we're not around them? Do we talk about them behind their backs when our kids are around? They pick up on all that stuff. How do we handle our relationships? How do we handle our job? How do we speak about our bosses? How do we speak about our coworkers? How do we drive? Oh, Lord. God help me. That's why maybe my wife ought to start driving with the kids in the car. I won't tell you about what happened on the road last week, but if you ask me after service, I'll tell you. They watch everything, and they're paying attention to all that we do. And so we have to be careful, because obedience changes us. And because of God's love in our life, like a child's response to the parents' love in their life, we want to follow His voice and obey. It causes us to do that. Why? Because we know that we belong to Him and we're His child. So we also have to believe, therefore, then, that obedience lets us fully experience the benefits of God's love. God's just not commanding us to follow Him for the sake of it. God knows that a better life awaits us when we do follow Him. So obedience lets us fully experience the benefits of God's love. Now, let's just start with a side note here. God's love is unconditional. Okay, you're saved by grace. We're saved by grace and faith in Christ. And that's the only reason we're saved. Not because of works, not because of what we do or haven't done. We're saved by grace and we're saved by faith. And God's love is unconditional. However, we must follow God's voice in order to fully experience the effects of God's loving grace and loving salvation in our life. In Daniel, the Bible says, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant of love with who? With all who love Him and do what? Obey His commands. And so obedience is extremely linked to God's covenant of love. What is God's covenant of love? Well, covenant is a binding agreement between two or more people. It's the covenant that God started with Abraham and we continue to live out today. It's a covenant of blessing. It's a covenant of provision. It's a covenant of abundance. And so God has this promise of abundant provisions, of an abundant promise of blessing for your life. And the only way that we'll experience that is if we choose to follow His plan for our life through obedience. And so God's rule over your life isn't meant to be oppressive like a dictator. God just doesn't want to grab a hold of you and stomp on you and step on you and tell you what to do when you want to do it just so He can get His kicks. That's not the way God is. You see, God's love and God's rulership over your life is anything but oppressive. It actually sets us free. And the Apostle John says that. He says, this is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are what? Not burdensome. They're the opposite of that. When you follow God's word, when you live in His truth, the Bible tells us the truth shall set you free. Let's further that point by realizing that obedience opens us to God's gentle, caring touch. Not His ruthless hand. That's what a dictator does. But obedience opens us to God's gentle and caring touch. It literally lifts the burdens from our life. Listen to Jesus speaking to you. He says, take My yoke upon you. Let Me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I want us to read that line together. And you will find... Now, we're not doing a good job here. Come on now. I'm going to start with and you. Ready? And you will find rest for your souls. I need that. How about you guys? Anybody? Absolutely. We need that in our life. He goes on to say, for My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Now, if you know anything about farming in the old days, before tractors and before powered equipment and before gasoline, if you're going to plow a row, you had to get a couple of oxen and you threw a yoke on them, which is a heavy piece of wood, and it was tied to leather straps, and the farmer would walk behind the ox, and the ox would plow the, I think it's called a furrow, right? Or plow the row or whatever it is. And the farmer was the one responsible for making sure that that line was straight. And guess what? The oxen didn't worry about where they were going because they just went wherever the farmer told them. And they went straight, and if the farmer tugged left, they went left, tugged righty, they went right. And they didn't have to worry about anything. Now, the only problem was it was a pretty heavy burden to carry that yoke. But the load was lightened because they didn't have to worry about anything. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I care for you, and I love you, and I'm going to lead you. And because of that, I'm going to lift the burdens of your life. Now, like an ox, I want you to just keep walking and keep going through life and trust in My lead. But when you do that, I'm going to take all the pressure off of you. That's what a parent does for a child. I mean, little kids, they're not worried about anything. Why? Well, because mom and dad, they're superheroes. I mean, we can take care of everything, right? They don't ever worry about anything. Why? Because mom and dad are in control. And the older we get, the more we realize that not only were our parents not always in control, but that there are a lot of stresses and struggles and strains that parents go through. And when we become parents ourselves, we realize the reality that our parents either were in control or they were covering it up and letting us know that they were in control. Why? Because they didn't want us to worry, fret, or fear. We have a God who's always in control, and because of that, it lifts the burdens of worry and concern and fear, and it gives us a better life. Why? Because it's not all on our shoulders. It doesn't all rest on us. The consequences aren't always sitting on top of our shoulders. They're on God. And so if we have a hectic day, guess what? We're yoked to Jesus, and so He can give us a shot of energy that we need that we can't get anywhere else. If we have a terrible moment during our day, we can get a shot from Jesus of peace to carry on because we're yoked to Jesus. If fear, worry, or anxiety creeps in, we can rest on the promises of Christ. Why? Because we're yoked to those promises. Jesus wants to say to you today, the ointment for burned out, weary souls is this, obedience and following God's instructions. Jesus says, there you will find care. There you will find rest. So obedience opens us to God's gentle, caring touch. And obedience also gives us confidence. It gives us confidence to be able to live into an unknown future and to trust and to ask boldly. Talk about fear. I mean, turn on the radio today. Understand the fluctuation in the stock market, trying to plug an oil spill, trying to deal with wars overseas, trying to deal with economic crises, trying to figure out if we can invest here or not invest there, trying to figure out if we owe more on our house than what it's worth. I mean, think about all of the things that we're focusing on in our future, not to let alone not only our life and our future, but our kids' life and future. What's going to be left from them once we're gone? I mean, think about all these things that we have to worry about. And when you live in obedience, it will bring us confidence. 1 John says, and we are confident. What does it say? And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make our requests, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. Now you're saying, Pastor John, I've prayed before, and I haven't always got what I wanted. How come this verse says that and it doesn't work that way? Maybe you've asked for something and you didn't get it. Or maybe you've asked for something and it doesn't feel like it's working and God's prayers aren't, He's not answering your prayers, or maybe He doesn't care, or maybe He's not there. Well, maybe He's giving you a no. I mean, my kids ask me for stuff all the time, and I always respond with a yes. Sometimes I'll respond with a no. Maybe He's giving us a maybe. Maybe later. Maybe hold on, now's not the right time. I can tell you that's about 9 times out of 10 my response to the kids. Can I have a snack? Let's wait a little bit, because lunch is going to be in a couple of hours. Can I watch TV? Well, is your homework done? Are you all set there? Well, maybe a little bit later, okay? That's the way that God can respond, and maybe He'll give us a yes, But here's what we need to think about. Here's the key to this verse. It says, and we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for what? Anything that what? Pleases Him. When we ask according to God's will, when we follow God's voice and teachings, and we ask according to those, guess what? We get more yeses. Here's the way it plays out in my house. The biggest question of the day is, can we watch TV? That's the biggest question in the day for my kids, all right? And my kids, the older they get and the more mature they become, know how to get a more frequent yes to that question. Why? Because they're maturing and they're growing up and they understand the ground rules. They know the deal. They understand the laws of the house and how this works, okay? And so if they come to me and ask me to watch TV and the homework isn't done and they're not ready for the next day and they haven't gone about their business and they haven't cleaned their room, and oh, by the way, it's a weekday because we don't watch too much TV during the weekday, they're going to frequently get a no because I'm going to tell them to go clean their room. I'm going to tell them to get their homework done, okay? But if they want more yeses, then they'll clean their room, they'll get their lunch ready for the next day, get their homework done, they'll come to me and they'll say, Dad, I've gotten my homework done, I'm ready for the day, I've gotten my room cleaned up, I've got nothing else to do right now, can I watch a little bit of TV? And if it's during the weekday, every once in a while I'll go ahead and give them a yes. Absolutely, because we don't watch too much TV during the weekday, but we do when we have time to do it with the kids, okay? But if it's on the weekend and they come to me and say, my homework is done, I've got my room cleaned, I've got everything done, and they say, it's the weekend, can I watch some TV? I'll say, have at it. Go watch TV. Enjoy yourself. And so they figured out over time how to get more yeses in their request. And that's the simple way that it works with God. If you want more yeses, then spend more time knowing God. Spend more time understanding His promises. Spend more time understanding the deal and what it means to follow in His voice. You can't follow His voice if you don't want to know what His voice is. And the more we grow in spiritual maturity, the more we grow in Christ and follow His will, the more yeses we're going to get when we pray. And also, the less fear and anxiety and worry we're going to have because we're confident of His provision. We're confident that He's going to provide when we pray according to His will because we've aligned ourselves and followed in obedience to Him. And when we ignore God, we wind up living on our own and life is all up to us. And so when we fall and we fail, we're the only ones there to pick ourselves up, and that's why we live in fear. Because we're on the line all the time. But when we follow God as a child follows a parent, we find certainty that everything will be okay no matter what happens. Why? Because we've lived in obedience and we are following along the path that we've been given. Obedience opens us to God's gentle, caring touch. It gives us confidence. It also brings us joy. How do I know that obedience brings us joy? Because I know that disobedience brings me the opposite experience. When I was a kid, the pizza paddle represented one of two things. Okay? The first one was an incredible experience. Mom would get the pizza paddle out. We'd push the dough around, we'd add tomato sauce to it, we'd throw the cheese on there, pepperoni, whatever you want. She'd take that pizza paddle, and I'm talking about a board that's about that thin, okay? It's about this wide. It was like in a palm branch oval, kind of olive branch shaped deal with a long handle on it. And you could do some damage with a pizza. And so she'd slide that thing underneath the pizza, and she'd shove it in the oven. We'd take the pizza out, we'd enjoy it. It was a joyous experience living in obedience, okay? Now, there was a second profound experience with that pizza paddle. Now, after about 5 minutes with that experience, not only was my stomach not full, but my butt hurt. Now, I'm here to tell you, that wasn't joyous. Okay? When I lived in disobedience with my parents, it was not fun. There was no joy. There was no joy in getting my butt whooped. There was no joy in losing privileges, being grounded, not being able to watch TV, hang out with my friends, and do what I wanted to do. Did you discover that the more we obey as kids, the more we got to do what we wanted to do? And that's actually the same with God. The more we obey with God, the more that we follow His directions, the freer we are to live the life that God's called us to live. And it's the same way when we were kids, and it's the same way now. By the way, the pizza paddle is split in half because my brother's bottom is a little bit harder than mine. My mom split the pizza paddle in half, which made her even angrier that day, I remember. And then she got the wooden spoon out, so... Pizza paddles don't always work, but I think to this day my mom still has that half moon pizza paddle as a, I don't know, maybe she's like tacked it up on the wall above the fireplace. No, I'm just kidding. It's sitting in the crock somewhere with all the other stuff, but we understand what we're talking about here. In John it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Why? Because we've lived in obedience. God's joy is complete in us. We have an abundant, beautiful life, and we live in joy. Why? Because God's love is complete in us. Because we've obeyed Him in love. Fourthly and finally, obedience will make you successful in all you do. Not only will it give you an extreme amount of joy, the Bible promises us that obedience will make you successful in all you do. It will literally prosper you. Don't take my word for it. Here's the words of Joshua. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Let's read that again. Then you will be successful in everything you do. By what? By studying this book of instruction continually. What is the book of instruction he's referring to? The Bible. The Old Testament and New Testament. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is why we need to know the Bible. This is why we need to have a devotion. This is why we need to be in church. This is why we need to study Scripture and not only read it, but make it a part of who we are, because it's the key to an incredible life. It's the key to an incredibly successful, prosperous life. If you want prosperity, if you want successfulness, if you want an abundant life, then God says, obey my word, get to know me, read my word, and not only get to know it and read it, but make it a part of who you are. You can't go wrong by reading, studying, and following God's teachings and listening to His voice, and oh, by the way, aligning your life with God's purposes and plan for you according to His word, and letting Him lead you into His best life for you possible. He'll give you, because of that, an abundance of wisdom. You'll find an abundance in relationships that you've never had before. You'll find that you'll have a clear conscience more than you've ever had. You'll find that you'll be able to make an incredible impact on this earth. You'll have a sense of satisfaction that's never been there before. You'll actually have joy in the middle of trials and significant difficulties. You'll be able to walk through incredible adversity. Why? Because you've lived in obedience. Let me ask you this question. If you follow God's word and keep your marriage vows, will that make for a better or worse marriage? Let me ask you this question. If you listen to God's word and refrain from addictive behaviors, will that make you more or less healthy? Let me ask you this question. If you follow God's instructions on financing and tithe, will God bless you more financially or less financially? It's safe to say whenever you read God's commands and laws, you'll discover that when you live in obedience, it does nothing but set you up for the opportunity to live a prosperous life. Did you know that the Bill of Rights that we have today as American citizens, did you know that the laws and codes of this land, moral behavior, it all originates from what? The Bible. The Bible. Moral living, right living, healthy living, abundant living, it all comes from God's Word in the Bible. And so God wants us to live an incredibly blessed, an abundant and successful life. What parent doesn't want that for their kids? I know as a parent, I want nothing other than to raise up my children so that they can have a successful life and the best life possible. God wants us to obey Him so He can do the same thing for us in our life here on earth. He wants to give us success. He wants to prosper us through obedience. And the only way we can do that is by listening to His voice. He wants to make us better. And it's the same thing that Leanne Toohey wanted from Michael Orr in the movie Blindside, The Blind Side. And on one particular occasion, Michael just wasn't getting it. He was banging his head up against the wall, and his mom, all 5'10" of her, walked up to this 7-foot guy, got in his face, and said, "Listen, here's how you're supposed to live life. Here's how you're supposed to do this. If you obey me and listen to me, you will be successful." Let's watch this movie clip and watch how obedience leads to success. You know, the reason we have coaches in our life and parents is to let us know when we can have a better life. Let us know when we're off track. Give us some guidance. Give us some instruction. And when we do that, when we live in obedience and understand God's love for us, we have a better life. We are better because of it. Obviously, Michael was better for listening to his mother. Maybe not his coach, but his mother had a lot to say. And kids, parents, grandparents, grandkids, we all have a lot to learn from one another. And it starts with love. And it goes to obedience. And then it also ends with love, because love leads to obedience, which leads to love. That's the greatest commandment of all. Love God and what? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. In 2 John it says, "I am writing you a new command, but one we have heard from the beginning. Love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love." And so love is walking in obedience, and obedience is walking in love. They go hand in hand with God. And so when God loves us, we obey Him. And guess what the primary command He gives us? The primary command He gives us is not only to love Him, but to love others. And so obedience is surrounded by love. Obedience begins and ends with love. We begin obedience because of a response to God's love, but that obedience causes us to love others and, oh, by the way, love God as well. And so God wants you, because of your obedience to Him, to spend your life walking in love and to understand that obedience, listening to His voice, is the very reason why He exists in our heart to guide us and lead us to a better life. Kids, grandkids, that's all your parents want for you. Adults, everybody in this room, that's all God wants for us, is the best life possible. I want to invite our worship team to come up for a closing song. And while they're doing that, here's just a couple of things to think about. First of all, and this is for kids, and you can bring this home and show it to your kids or your grandkids. When mom and dad ask you to do something, are you doing it? Practice something this week. One time, you can just bring this home and show your kids, your grandkids. Did you hear what the pastor said today? He said, "You're supposed to listen to me. It's a contractual agreement, obligation." Secondly, what's God asking you to do? Start doing it. What's God asking you to stop doing? Stop doing it. Where can you adjust in obedience this week? Recognizing your priorities, forming better habits, taking godly and right action, whatever it is. Do something like that this week. Thirdly, what person this week needs your love? Share the love of God with them. Invite them to worship. Invite them to Vacation Bible School. Help them see God's love so they can begin to obey Him and then be a loving force themselves here on this earth. As you go this week, I pray that you know and realize the love that God has for you. And because of that great love, He wants nothing more for you than to follow His voice in obedience, because He knows that that obedience will lead you to the best life possible for you. Go this week and have a confident belief and trust in the very Word of God to lead you into all things. Have a great week of obedience. God bless. Prayers 6 o'clock tonight. Love to have you there. Have a great week. Amen.